I want to welcome back Dan Leonard. He's CEO of Granite Capital Consulting. He's also executive director of the We Work for Health. Dan and I go back to WMUR-TV days, but he's got over a couple decades in healthcare policy and experience. Dan joining us back again. And Dan, I do feel that even doctors in the system and patients feel like it's a big, big system. We know it is. It's a big, big business. But who are the big, big players? Dan Leonard back with us.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jack. Great to be back. It's, you know, we often, when we think about healthcare, it's very personal to us. You know your doctor, you know the folks in the clinic or in the doctor's office, you know often the, your local hospital. But it's, you know, the players that are really controlling the system are often faceless and big behemoths, companies in the much larger healthcare industry complex. And, you know, they handle everything from, will your insurance cover that procedure, what drug you can get, how much they're going to cost, you know. So they do control a lot of the levers of healthcare in this country. Got a little game for you, Jack, a little quiz for you and J-Dog if he wants to play. But just tick off what you think would be, you know, the largest healthcare public companies in this country. I've got the Fortune 50 laid out in front of me. There are 12 healthcare companies on the Fortune 50.
We probably,
who would you say is near the top?
Most people probably don't know, because it's funny, like if you mention like online retail, people would say Amazon, right?
Or
Google for
high tech.
Yeah,
they're number two on the list, Amazon, but they're not.
No, I'm saying that's what you would know the answer. But healthcare, it's more invisible, because like I think of like Anthem as a big insurance player, HCA is a big hospital owner, but I can't tell you who the big, big, huge players are.
So you mentioned Anthem, that's Elevance Health. They're number 22 on the list. So a big Blue Cross plan, but a for-profit Blue Cross in 13 states, I think now. But there's still 7 companies bigger than them on the list. Number one, well, the largest healthcare company at number 5 is United Health Group.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they're like, who are they?
Yeah, who are they? But they are the largest employer of physicians in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So they employ more physicians through physician groups in the entire country. They're a health plan, they're an insurance company. They're an insurance company first. They're a PBM, we can get deeper into that, but they control a lot of the levers. Right after them is CVS, so you think of CVS as your corner pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
but they also own a little company called Aetna, which is one of the large national insurers, so they're an insurance company, they're a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
They also own a pharmacy benefit management company that manages, you know, the supply chain of pharmacy. Then you have the distributors in the middle, so again, names you probably know, the McKesson, AmerisourceBergen,
yep,
Cardinal,
yep.
But they're not household names, and they move drugs around the country. And then you have more. You have your Walgreens. It's not until number 38 you get to the first pharma company, Pfizer.
Interesting.
A lot of people, when they do this kind of thought exercise, they put the pharma companies at the top.
Yeah.
And I think that's because they advertise, and they see that they do see Pfizer and J&J on TV,
yep.
But they're. You're not the largest.
I'm surprised I didn't mention, you know, Pfizer or Moderna up top after all the vaccine. Let me switch gear. Let me continue here. Okay, so how big are they? I mean, how big are we talking some of these companies, Dan Leonard, who really control healthcare? Because, again, in automobile, high tech, you tend to know the players. But in healthcare, how big are we talking? And is it a good or bad thing that they're that big and we're not sure? And you would think that some of these big players would force more competition, which would drive prices down, but I'm not seeing that.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. That's always been so they got this big through consolidation. Like I mentioned, United was an insurance company. Well, now they're insurance plus physician groups plus pharmacy management plus research. They have been, consolidating. So the 6 biggest health insurance companies in the country have tripled in size in the last 10 years. And the revenue of those top 6 make up 30% of the total U.S. spending on health care. So in 2011, that was 10%. Now they're up to 30%. Total healthcare spending in this country has gone from $2.7 trillion in 2011 to $4.7 trillion in 2023. So, you know, it's doubled while these companies are consolidating. So that kind of gets to your point of, are there more efficiencies in the system?
Mm-hmm.
Well, theoretically, there should be. But again, I mentioned PBMs, and I think this might be a topic for another day because it's a deep one, but the three PBMs, which are owned by Cigna.
What does PBM stand for?
Pharmacy Benefit Manager, and they just, they manage the, you know, how you get your medications, how much they cost, which, and there's three that own 80% of the market.
So that doesn't doesn't lend itself to like competition.
No, it is they're very vertically integrated companies, and the FTC, I will just say, is looking at the PBMs. The Congress has several pieces of legislation to reform the PBM industry, add more transparency. That's one of the biggest problems, is that it's not transparent. So these PBMs are, mm-hmm. Managing your pharmacy benefit, but you don't really know what the drug costs, and then they have these things called rebates that get sent back to the employer that runs the plan, or in some cases the state that's running a municipal plan. So to your point, I don't know that these economies of scale have really benefited the consumer the way they probably should.
Yeah. Now, what about making it better or taking the waste out of the system? And is this consolidation, which seems to be getting more normal than not? What's different is Dan Leonard pointed out earlier, we don't really know these companies like we do the big players in high tech or manufacturing of other industries. They're kind of a little more, let's just say lesser known. You mentioned some of them. So, does it improve the system? Does it make it more efficient or not? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so, the argument for the longest time, and the argument that these companies would make before the FTC or the SEC, is we need to roll up these various components of healthcare to become more efficient and save money. So that's the argument. I just told you the price. The cost of healthcare has doubled in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, that just leaves an open question whether it's working. The other issue now is these companies have gotten so big that in Washington recently there have been folks have been saying they've become too big to fail.
Right.
And if you remember that saying from 2008.
2008.
Not a compliment.
Yeah,
but in this case, it may be true that they're too big to actually, where something catastrophic can happen, and they still keep on ticking. I'll give you the example. Just within the last couple of months, United Healthcare, number one on the healthcare list, had a massive cybersecurity hack. You may have heard of this. It took over a company called Change Healthcare. Change Healthcare, owned by United, this created massive disruptions in the pharmacy networks, provider networks. Doctors couldn't get paid, pharmacists couldn't get paid, people couldn't get their claims processed, prescriptions filled. Huge issue. So United just reported they're taking a $1.6 billion charge against their earnings because of this Change cybersecurity hack. $1.6 billion would basically put out of business 99% of the companies in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in this case, United didn't even adjust their earnings projections for the year. They didn't even adjust it down.
They could take that big of a hit. Wow.
They took that hit. Yeah. They did not reduce earnings. They reported $8 billion in profit in Q1. So you can multiply 8 times 4. $32 billion is their profit expectation for this year. So big company, and one of their arguments, their CEO said, it's because we are big and consolidated, we're able to absorb this big cybersecurity hit. But, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not making any conclusions, but you can draw conclusions yourself. It's big business, Jack.
Now, you said these companies, they're too big to fail, and I guess that's true of these insurers now that are becoming sleeping giants.
Yeah. Yeah, at least that example, where the Change Healthcare hack cybersecurity incident, I would have crippled or put out of business most of the companies in this country, but they were able to absorb that hit it's a big deal, but they did not have to adjust their earnings down. I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing that these companies get so large. I think if you talk to physicians, many of whom are, have had to sell their practices or have rolled up their practices, physicians, when I talk to them, are complaining or, just noting that they have to work harder. They have to limit the amount of time they have with patients. I'm sure you've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
Less time with the patients.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of new tech that United and others would provide for them. But that means, to become more efficient and less time with patients, is that a good thing? Probably not.
And Dan, Leonard, I think you'd agree with me. Over the last 20 years, I think providers, doctors, the ones I know anyway that are retiring, say you know, they're actually eager to retire because that touch, that personal connection with the patient seemed to go sideways once they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm not saying healthcare is all about shareholder earnings, but it seems to, you know, it's interesting. My crew here, Dan, while you were talking, Dan Leonard, just looked up some stock prices. And if I have this right, J-Dog, a share of Amazon is, if I'm right, is $180.52 a share. Is that about what you think it is, Amazon? Yeah. You know what United Healthcare per share is this morning?
Yeah, let's hear it.
$491 a share versus Amazon at $180.
Yeah. Right. And I bet you most of your listeners are like, who's United Healthcare? Who is this?
Yeah, everyone knows
they're
Amazon.
Massive.
Yeah. All right.
They are on the list right after Apple. So you know they're big.
Yeah, but, IBM at $490 a share. I mean, that's a pretty big, big company. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Dan Leonard, CEO of Granite Capital Consulting and Executive Director of We Work for Health. Best way to follow up with you is how? Does the We Work for Health have a site or how?
Yeah, weworkforhealth.org is the best way to get to me.
You know what? I don't know if you want to touch upon it sometime because you're the health, you're a health editor here on the Good Morning New Hampshire, the Pulse of a Nation. A couple times a month here, we get Dan on. Dan, I appreciate the time. Before I let you go,
yeah,
you know what'd be interesting is I'm hearing. Same-day surgical centers in New Hampshire, Nick Vail has sort of got that going more than a quarter of a century ago. But now as we see more of these and less like going to the hospital to get your appendix out or a rotator cuff. But some of these providers, I'm hearing a couple, Joe Matarisi, who's done some healthcare for us, told me that they're sort of like trying to break the mold of these big players controlling it and kind of go into free market competition for people to come and pay, and they try and make it more affordable. And I'm not sure what this is all called, but, LASIK surgery, for example, is pretty famous for competition. Plastic surgery, you go, they tell you what it costs, you can afford it. But when you go in there with insurance involved and you're going to get your shoulder fixed or an appendix out, it could be. I have one person locally, they ended up appendix coming out, no complications, same day, went home that afternoon, $65,000 all in for the surgery. So it'd be interesting to kind of talk about these offshoots that I'm hearing about that are more free market driven, but I don't know the names of them.
Well, like day clinics, like you said, a lot of orthopedic work now, knee replacements, hip replacements are moving out of the hospital. They've been the mainstay in keeping hospitals alive for a long time. Are going to these outside clinics. I'll just say this. The hospital lobby is one of the most powerful lobbies in Washington.
Sure, we see that locally. Yeah, we see that
every
here.
Every state has a massive hospital complex, and, they rely on people in those beds.
Yep.
They rely on surgeries like this, and if they leave the hospital for a more cost-effective and quality experience, it's going to be problems for the hospital. So this is kind of the political underlying of what you're talking about
there. Dan Leonard, before I go, you notice when you go in, you can't ask. Like, if I go get a new from our auto fair sponsors, if I go get a new pickup truck or a Honda, I'm going to know the sticker price within $1,000, right? I'm going to know it. If I go in to get a rotator cuff shoulder fixed and say, how much is it going to cost me all in there? Look at me like I have two heads. All right, Dan Leonard, thank you.
You'll know when you get the bill.
You'll know when you get the bill in 90 days. Thank you.